to be selfish. I just think we ought to be honest with each other and say, I don't think of you most of the time. I think of me most of the time. And you don't think of me most of the time. You think of you most of the time. Our basic nature is selfish. Proverbs 28:25 says this, selfishness only causes trouble. Selfishness only causes trouble. So if selfishness destroys relationships, what is the antidote? What builds relationship? What builds relationships is selflessness. Selflessness. What is selflessness? To be selfless is to be unselfish. It means a little less of me and a little more of you. It means I think a little less of myself and I think a little more of you. That's being unselfish. I'm not the center of the universe. I'm thinking about other people. Simple definition of selflessness, Philippians 2:4. Look out for another's interest, not just your own. That's being unselfish. That's what builds a relationship, when we think of another's interest over and above ourselves. Now, God's favorite place to teach us how to be unselfish, simple rule, how to share, is within the context of family. And some just simple practical things that we can do within the relationship of family or church family. Here are a couple. One is just show up. Just show up. Have you ever not wanted to go and be with family? Have you ever not wanted to go to church? There is a sense and an understanding where the group needs you. And when you choose not to participate in family, in relationship, you're being selfish. And there are times when you need to simply choose to just show up. It means you're putting your own self-will to the side and you're going for the benefit of the whole. How can we be selfless? How about by listening to others? Listening is one of the greatest gifts we can give to one another. Just our undivided attention. Just a simple eye-to-eye listening intently to the heart cry of another. You know, we think money is so valuable, but money you can reproduce and you can get more of. When you give your listening ear, you're giving your time, and once you've used that time up, you can't give another substitute. Sometimes going to somebody and simply being with them with a listening ear is one of the greatest gifts that we can give that shows that we're selfless. We can be selfless by offering to help people, by meeting their needs. If you don't get anything else that I say today, get this. The greatest lesson in life is learning to be unselfish, learning to share, learning to look out and meet the needs of others. We could also call that love. Once you get down that you're to love God, what does God want you to do? Love others even as yourself. Once you know the love of God, God says, I want you to learn to love other people. That's being unselfish. What destroys relationships? Selfishness. What builds relationships? That unselfishness, that selfless love for others. Second one, second destroyer of relationships, pride destroys relationships. Proverbs 13:10 says, pride only leads to quarrels, and quarrels hurt relationships. Pride destroys relationships. Now, I know most all of us don't think of ourselves as pride people, so I'll give you one of those five-finger tests. Five-finger tests means you don't need to say this to anybody, show this to anybody, but you kind of hold your own hand, and you just kind of count on your five fingers how prideful you are. So here are some indicators of pride. One, it shows up in criticism. Are you critical of other people? Second, do you tend to be judgmental of other people? Do you have a tendency to look down on some people? Third, are you stubborn? Is it difficult to say, I'm sorry? Fourth, do you have shallow relationships? Do you never let people get close to you? Do you keep most people at an arm's distance? Five, you're always offering advice to people, but you're never asking anybody for advice. Okay, so that's just five. Now, I'll give you, in case you're short a couple, I'll give you a couple bonus questions. Do you always have to tell a story that tops the other person's story? The last bonus, you never admit when you've had a tough week. If some of those are indicators of you, and you may only be a two or a three, but there are some of us that are fours and fives more often than we want to admit, but our hand just told us that we have an issue with pride. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. This is the way it's translated in the Message version. It says, first pride, then the crash. The bigger the ego, the harder the fall. Pride keeps us from apologizing, keeps us from admitting we're wrong. Pride destroys relationships. Well, what's the antidote to pride? The antidote to pride is humility. Fill that in. Humility builds relationships. Listen to these relationship builders in 1 Peter 3:8. All of you, don't leave any of us out, all of you, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. But if you look at those, you can note that sympathy, love, and compassion, all relationship builders are all built on the ability to be humble. To be sympathetic, loving, and compassionate require humility. So how are you and I to grow in humility? How's that happen in our lives? It happens by letting Jesus Christ take control of our attitudes and actions. Jesus Christ has to be a part of our life if we are to be a humble people. Ephesians 4 says, put off your old self, which is corrupted by its evil desires, that's selfishness and pride, and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. In true righteousness and holiness, there is a humility. Now, how do we put off the old, our selfishness, our pride, and how do we put on the new? Seeing others, caring for others, indeed, having a humble spirit. How do I become a new person? I don't know if you've ever heard the basic rule of relationships. The basic rule of relationships is simply this. You hang around with grumpy people, you become grumpier. You hang around with happy people, you become happier. If that's the basic rule of relationships, how am I to go about and making the change in my own life to move from being a prideful person to being a humble person? How is that happening? It's I need to hang around one that is humble. And we have some great people with great humility in this congregation, but the one that we need to be spending more time with on a daily basis is the true model of humility, and that is who? That is Jesus Christ. Take a look at Philippians 2 with me. It talks about Christ being the model. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. That's do nothing out of selfishness, do nothing out of pride. And so what's it say then? Rather in humility, value others over yourself, not looking at your own interests, but the interests of others. Folks, those are relationship builders. And then it talks about Jesus. In our relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. No one has been more humble than Jesus Christ, who gave up the glory of heaven, took on our form, lived our life, died a sacrificial death on our behalf. He died for a people who in no way deserved his love, his death. He gave himself for others who didn't want anything to do with him. What a model of humility. The more we spend time with Jesus Christ, the more we spend time with him in his word, the more we spend time with him in prayer, the more we spend time with him in fellowship with his people, the greater we grow in humility. Third destroyer, fear, insecurity. I really didn't know which one to title this one. You could put either one. I think we're going to see they're very similar. Fear, insecurity destroys relationships. Bible talks about this in Proverbs 29. It says, the fear of man will prove to be a snare. When I am so insecure that all I think about is what you think about me, then I have fallen into the snare, the trap of fear, and we will not be able to have a healthy relationship. We have an amazing dilemma going on. Every one of us. We want to be close. We want to be close to each other, but we fear closeness. We want there to be an intimacy, but we fear intimacy. We fear a couple things. The first thing, we fear exposure. We fear that if we're close to somebody, if we're intimate to somebody, there's a possibility they might just see us for who we really, really are. And we fear being exposed because what do we fear in the exposure? That we're going to be rejected. They aren't going to like us if they really know us. And so the second fear is the very fear of rejection. This may be the greatest human fear that we have. We fear if people really know us, they'll reject us. We know how much that hurts. And so we fear it and we close ourselves off and say, I'll never let anyone know me. That way they can't hurt me. And as long as we fear exposure, as long as we fear rejection, as long as we fear man and value man's opinion, then it's going to keep us from being who God has made us and wants us to be, because we're going to constantly walk around not being who we are, but having a mask upon us, trying to be somebody that we think they want us to be. So fear and insecurity destroy the possibility of a healthy relationship. Then what is the antidote? What builds a healthy relationship? And that is love. Love builds relationships. Listen to 1 John 4:18. Love has no fear because perfect love love has no fear because perfect love casts out all fear. If we're afraid, It shows that his love has not been perfected in us. How does it work that perfect love will cast out the fear of man and what other people think of us? Oh, this is how it works in its simplest form. When we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ and we come to understand how much God loves us, perfect love, God's love, casts out the fear of man, because once we come into an understanding and we get our focus on the love of God, on the Father love of an Abba Daddy, and how much he loves me, then I don't need to be thinking about you and what you think of me. All I am overwhelmed by is how much my Heavenly Father loves me. I don't have to spend my life trying to impress other people because I know that God loves me. You know how freeing that is? You know how enjoyable it is to live life that way? All of a sudden, when my identity, my self-worth, they're not caught up in what you might think of me, they're caught up in my relationship with Christ. I'm not pressured to be somebody I am not. I am who God wants me to be. I think all of us want that. All of us want to be able to walk around and live with that sense of confidence of the love of our Heavenly Father. So how do we get that confidence? Well, the verses right before 1 John 4:18 that says perfect love casts out fear. These are the two verses right before that. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in him. God is love, and as we live in God, our love grows more and more perfect, so we will not be afraid. How do we get to the point where perfect love can cast out fear? We get to that point by knowing Jesus Christ, by inviting Jesus Christ into our lives, by trusting Jesus Christ with our very lives. Once we come to know Christ and we come to trust Christ, then we come to experience the very love of our Heavenly Father. And then as we focus upon the love of our Heavenly Father, his love casts out all fear of man. But notice in that verse, it says there, our love grows more and more perfect, so we will not be afraid. It says our love grows. Folks, to be free from any sense of fear and insecurity does not happen instantaneously. That would be nice. But to live outside of the fear of what others think of us is a consecration, sanctification process that we grow in to the love of our Heavenly Father. And it's a continual process that God wants us to continue to grow in his love, so that more tomorrow than today will be overwhelmed by his love. And the more we're overwhelmed by his love, the more we're able to be who God wants us to be. And the more we are who God wants us to be, the healthier friendships, relationships, families we're going to have. The last enemy I want to mention to relationships is resentment. Resentment destroys relationships. Now, some of the other things I said, pride and selfishness, you know, fear, they mess with us. I like what Job said. Job said it pretty simple. Resentment kills us. Resentment kills us. Now, before I talk resentment, let's be honest with each other. Everybody blows it periodically. Every one of us are sinners. Every one of us mess up. there is none of us that is perfect. Therefore, with the understanding that there is none of us that is perfect, that all of us sin, every one of us, I sin, you sin, we sin together. It's not our practice, but we do. And you know what sin does? Sin hurts people. And so what we have to recognize and what we have to be honest about is that we do have the potential to hurt each other unintentionally and sometimes intentionally. We hurt each other. So therefore, we have to go into this with the understanding that there are going to be times in our lives that we are going to be hurt. And when we hurt, we have a decision to make pretty quickly in the moment of being hurt. Are we going to allow this hurt to help make us better, or is this hurt going to make us bitter and filled with resentment? We have that decision to make. Why is it so significant that we make a decision that we're going to allow the hurt that we're experiencing to be turned and become better instead of bitter? Well, because of what resentment does to us. Well, what does resentment do to us? Well, Psalm 73, it says, "When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered," that's full of resentment, "I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you." You see, when you end up being resentful because somebody has hurt you, it sends you into a tailspin of negative behavior. Hebrews 12:15 says, "Watch out that no bitterness," that's resentment, "takes root among you. For as it springs up, it causes deep trouble, hurting many in their spiritual lives." It messes with your spirituality. Why is it that you need to deal with resentment? Because resentment is never, ever healthy. Resentment destroys your spiritual relationship with your Heavenly Father. So what do we do? I'm going to say three things and focus on the third. The first thing, soon as you begin to feel the resentment, and you know what it feels like as it begins to boil up within you. Soon as you begin to feel resentment from a hurt that has been caused upon you, immediately ask the Heavenly Father, "Give me your overwhelming love. The same love that you have for me, give for the other." The second thing you need to do is you need to go and tell them they're a jerk. No, I didn't say that. I know you were already thinking that, but you need to go to them. And you need to say, as openly as you can, "I don't understand what happened. All I know is it doesn't feel right." And you need to go and discuss. The worst thing that we can do when somebody hurts us is to be quiet. No, actually, the worst thing that we can do is not say anything to them and tell a half a dozen other people. You want to destroy relationships? You want to destroy the body? You want to destroy the family? You want to destroy the church? Just go ahead. Be hurt by somebody and tell somebody else instead of telling them. Never sweep it under the carpet. Ask God for His love to flow through you. He wants His love to flow through you for others. Go to them and speak to them. And then thirdly, you need to deal with this, because resentment will destroy a relationship. But the problem is, resentment not only destroys the relationship on this level, the resentment you build up for another, it will break down your relationship with your Heavenly Father as well. So you have to ask God for His strength that you might forgive them. The antidote to resentment is forgiveness. Forgiveness is a relationship builder. You're going to have a long-term friendship. You're going to have a healthy family. If you're going to have a marriage that lasts 11 years, you're going to have a good, massive dose of forgiveness in your relationship, because we have a tendency to hurt each other. Colossians 3:13 tells us, you must make allowance for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Why? Why do I need to forgive somebody? Three reasons, real quick. One, resentment kills. Resentment destroys. Resentment is never healthy. It's unhealthy for you to hold resentment. Why do you need to forgive somebody? Because you don't want to get sick. And resentment will make you physically, emotionally, spiritually sick. Two, why do you forgive? Because your Heavenly Father has forgiven you. And how can you receive the grace of God and not allow that grace of God to truly become a part of you? It is evident of how wimpy we are as a Christian people when we have the inability to forgive. Is Christ within us or is Christ not within us? Forgive as you have been forgiven. That's what God says. Third reason, yeah, there's that issue of he said that we were to forgive that he might forgive us on into the future. And every one of us knows and we want and we expect our Heavenly Father to forgive us. We pray in our Lord's Prayer, you know, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive the trespasses of others. Oops. Wouldn't you have preferred that was left out? But it wasn't. Because it's a part of the nature of who the Christian is, and it shows their true identity in Jesus Christ, that there is something supernatural that has taken place. And you say, but I can't forgive them. I'm not saying trust them. I'm saying forgive them. And forgiveness is simply saying, I do not hold on to my right of revenge. I'm going to set my pain to the side. And I'm going to move on that we might have a relationship. I can't do that. You're right, you can't do that. Our human love always, always falls short of the ability to truly forgive somebody. So what do? We rely upon the love of our Father through Jesus Christ, his Son. We can only love as we have experienced the Father's love through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen to these words. Titus. At one time, we were foolish, we were disobedient, we deceived, we enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. We were doing everything we could to destroy relationships. That's what that's saying. We lived very, very selfish lives. We were a people that we were filled with pride. We didn't want what others wanted. We wanted what we wanted. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. He saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. We were given a rebirth. We were made to be new creations. We were filled by the Holy Spirit. So that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Folks, we once lived lives that were filled with selfishness, that were filled with pride, that were filled with fear, and that were filled with resentment. But God saved us. But God saved us. So we need to be about doing good. And we cannot do good without Jesus Christ. We cannot build healthy friendships, healthy relationships, healthy families, healthy churches without Jesus Christ. We can't do it. And for some, that may be a first-time decision this morning that you need to invite Jesus Christ in, because you know there have been some real relational messes in your life and you can't seem to get them straightened out. That's because you need Jesus Christ to be in the midst of those relationships. There are others of you that you need to make a recommitment to Christ and allow Christ to be all that Christ wants to be in your life, because it's only in Christ do you have the antidotes. Only in Christ can you look to the needs of others. Only in Christ can you truly be a loving person. Only in Christ can you truly be a forgiving person. Only in Christ can you have what it's going to take to build long, lifelong friendships. We all desire them. Healthy families, we all desire them. A healthy church that is vibrant and used for the glory of God, we all desire it. But what's it going to take? It's going to take an absolute commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because we can only do what is good for relationships if we allow Jesus Christ to take control of our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. With that in mind, I welcome you to pray and to right now commit yourself to Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Jesus, you've seen every relationship that I've had, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know how selfishness, pride, insecurity, and resentment messes them up. Jesus, I need your help in my life. I need your help in my relationships. I need the guidance of your Spirit that I would be who you desire me to be. As much as I understand of you, Jesus, I invite you to come into my life and live in me, and by your Spirit to allow your love to flow through me. Jesus, I want a fresh start with you today, that you would be truly my Lord, my Savior, and that I would submit my life to you. As much as I would want to hold up that I have rights, and I would want to hold on to revenge, and I would want to hold on to that which is mine is mine, Lord Jesus, allow me to release it unto you. Allow me to trust you with all that I have, all that I am, including my hurts and my failures. Lord Jesus, for your grace to take control and to guide me. In your precious name, amen and amen. Folks, there's a flip side of this, and the flip side is you may have been the hurter, and maybe you need to ask God for forgiveness and then go ask another person for forgiveness. But either way, I just want to invite you to, as we stand and as we close, to be in an attitude of prayer and to even consider coming and praying and saying, Jesus, I just want it to be clear. I want to recommit to you. I want to walk in your ways. I want healthy relationships. So I want to do life, Jesus, the way you've instructed me to do life. I don't want to do it any longer my way, because I'm seeing my way doesn't work. Let's stand and sing. Let's pray. Lay it down. It's not healthy. Give it back and take up all that He has for you, His love. And in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, allow that love to flow through you.